So Janet and I are having a conversation about Jesus and church because, well, this basically came about because a number of months ago when I was talking to Janet about how we do church and how we might look at that differently, you were saying, Janet, in a way, it doesn't matter to you what happens. What matters is Jesus. And I just thought you'd hit the nail on the head when you said that. That yes, that is exactly right, that we need to be following how Jesus would do things. So, Janet, you've just been sharing with me some of those things that you see as important. Do you want to share some of those? That would be lovely if you could.
Yes, so a little bit nervous. I'm not very good at talking, but I can only speak as I feel in truth. And I just believe that Jesus would be out there with people doing what he could to help them and, speaking to them in truth and love. And there's lots of quotes in the Bible. There's one about the leper, you know, where he went to help the leper. And he didn't just see him as a leper, but he saw him as a person who was sick and needed help. And I think that's where Jesus would be, with the needy, with the people who needed him.
I think you're really right, actually. I was thinking of the woman at the well. Jesus,
yeah, I've
just
got that written down here too, about the Samaritan lady, and the woman who touched the cloak. He was there. He was there for them all.
And
I just feel that's where I should be, where, you know, I can't, that's where, you know, I think that's where we should be, to, you know, where people need Jesus. They need him now more than ever. They need him more than ever.
So how are you going about that in your life at the moment, especially with the lockdown?
Yeah, no, I'm still going out there. I'm still going out there, not so much when it's cold, I'll be honest, but I'm still going out there, and there's a lot of people out there, very lonely people, and some of them, they like to, we cause a, I think they smile actually when they see us sitting there with the wind blowing and a bit in cold, and they walk by and they always stop and have something to say. And it's just a matter of listening, really, and just a matter of listening. Some people tell you their fears, and some people just want you to speak to them because they're alone.
And this is when you're sitting at the beach hut, is it, Janet?
And that's when I'm at the beach hut, yeah. Ron and I, and yeah, we're there together, and we always have somebody come by, always, you know, even if you just acknowledge and say hello and smile. And, you know, it's just life. It's just being out there trying to be normal in abnormal circumstances.
But I think that's lovely, because so often we can be so busy doing things that we don't actually have the time to stop and to smile and to talk. And I think
that's so important. I mean, I have a lot of time to be able to do that, and so does Ron. And I do feel that Jesus has led me towards doing this, you know.
Yeah.
And yes, I shall carry on.
That's brilliant. I think that's really good, because it does really reflect what Jesus did. Certainly, you know, he'd stop at the side of the road to talk to a blind man, or a distraught mother, or, well, even a thief, I guess, being executed alongside him when you think his mind was on other things. And I think there's such an importance in that, in listening, and not just hearing, but actually listening. I guess that woman at the well, you know, he didn't want to talk about the sort of peripheries of religion, about what mountain they worshipped on. He could hear deeper because he was really listening, and talk about what she really needed.
He teaches us to examine ourselves. I think that's what he did with the lady at the well, with the Samaritan at the well. And when he said, I can tell you, you've had, I think it was four husbands, and she said, he told me everything I knew, and that was what made her run to others and want to bring him back, because somebody actually touched her and knew her.
Yeah.
You know, and, as I said, I'm not very good with words.
You're very good with words. I think, well, actually, part of that is because you're good at listening, Janet. But I think Jesus' teaching style was very much like that. Yes, he did speak to crowds, but actually, so often when people wanted to talk to him, he didn't actually give them a black and white answer. He gave them a story to think about and to mull over, or he entered into a discussion. You know, it wasn't just that simple for him. And I think maybe one of the ways he did that so well was because he was ready to be vulnerable and to talk to all sorts of people and to receive hospitality. I love the fact that he got, you know, Mary and Martha and Lazarus as friends, and he used to hang out there. And just the fact when he talks about God's kingdom and God's love, it's like a banquet and a party.
Yeah.
You know, I think sometimes in church I read a brilliant quote, which I haven't got. Oh, no, I have got it in front of me. Here it is. It says, "Why is it that the greater portion of the church's activities seem designed to be as off-putting as possible to the casual unchurched observer?" And I thought that was really funny and quite true in many respects, because that doesn't kind of relate to a banquet or a wedding feast where everybody's welcome and there's banter and laughter and acceptance from, you know, from everybody in this diverse body of people that you'd never normally get together.
Yeah.
I think it must have been quite incredible following Jesus.
Yes. Yeah, I can't imagine. I think it must have been.
Like you say, really challenging at times. But I guess it was that incarnation. It was kind of God in a body just revealing what life could be like. And because Jesus entered into that culture, he wasn't so alien to people. And they were just bowled over by, I guess, a life that wasn't based on rules. It was based on relationship.
Yeah, and I think the hope as well. I think hope is a big thing. You know, people who are crying out, really, and they don't really know what they need. But the hope of Jesus, that's everything, isn't it? That's everything.
Absolutely.
And just having that hope of the something more, you know.
Yeah, and yeah. I think that's probably why the early church grew, actually, so quickly in the early days, because that hope was given not just to people that had sort of grown up in the right families or were adhering to all the social rules, but that hope was given to the women and to the children and the outcasts, which was, you know, countercultural.
Yeah. And that is the most wonderful thing as well, that Jesus was for everybody, you know, those who society looked down on, you know, he met them all, you know, and he loved them all. And that's what I find really incredible.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the fact, you know, when you think of the disciples, you've got such a diverse group of people, from fishermen to tax collectors who were loathed and sided with the Romans, and you'd never normally put them all together under normal circumstances, and yet those 12 changed the world, didn't they? They're not a group you'd naturally, you know, if maybe you or I were going to start a movement, you go to all the movers and shakers and all the gatekeepers. He did the opposite. He went to a small backwater with this ragtag group of followers who didn't even really know or understand him. But it worked.
Yes.
Here we are, 2,000 years later.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there anything else you wanted to...
No, I'm just looking through the notes, really. But no, I think mainly is I just felt for myself, you know, I just felt it wasn't right to sit in. I know the government. And yes, I have done what I should be doing, protecting others. But I just... I couldn't believe that my faith should make me stay in, because I've got it written down here, faith in a time of COVID and hope over fear. And I just felt Jesus is bigger than that. And I had to be out there. I can't be sitting in. I can't say I believe in a Jesus. And if I can't go out and do and be in action, I can't just lock myself away. I have to be out there, and if God wants to use me, then I'm there, and if he doesn't, I'm still there. You know, I just felt I had to be. I couldn't just sit in. I had to be out there.
Yeah, that's great. I think you used the Matthew 28 verse, didn't you, where Jesus said, go and make disciples. And
that's right, yeah. I mean, there's a chorus I wrote down here, we've all heard it before, and that says, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. And I think that is it, really.
That's beautiful. Yeah. That's just out of the overflow of God's love in your life, just pouring that out to other people.
Yes.
Which is great, which is what we're meant to be about. And I think having each other encourages us to do that. I know what you're saying, we'll encourage other people to do that. Sorry, what were you going to say?
No, not really. I just think that to be out there where people are lonely and lost, and these aren't church people, they haven't got people in a church to speak to, you know, they are really isolated. They're really isolated, you know. And I just think, you know, church, you're talking about church, and I still think it's on the streets, it's in the buses, it's in the shops, it's when you walk around, it's wherever you're at, really. And that's it, really.
That's fantastic. Janet, thank you so much. I'm sure people have really enjoyed listening to this and hearing a bit about what you've been up to.
And making people smile, even, you know, anything, you know, what helps lift the spirits, you know. Yeah, and I believe and that'd be a lot nicer when it get warmer.
It will. As we end our Exploring Church series, we'll continue to explore what Light of Life's identity is and the values that we hold dear, and how we operate as both gathered and scattered church. One of the ways we can grow is to deepen our faith through daily, weekly, and monthly rhythms and practices, which we're going to delve into in the coming months. But for now, let's end with a prayer. Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you built your church with a mixed bag of people, gentle, impulsive, schooled, and uneducated, men, women, young and old, and somehow, through it all, you formed a community charged with loving the enemy, welcoming the stranger, living with values that others laugh at, and all this so that the world might be redeemed. We're part of that mixed bag, and while we struggle with its clashes, we rejoice in its diversity, and we're committed to it because we've seen you at work, doing impossible things in this crucible of love. Help us to be attentive to those around us, who can be holders of hope, makers of peace, catalysts for change, who can help shape our future life in good ways. And help us, Lord, to help them be all that you called them to be. In your precious name we pray. Amen.